Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 105 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Momentarily, we'll head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. We'll tell you you can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors, providing you winning results for over 35 years. Follow us on Twitter, the show Twitter account at Oilers Now. Brendan makes a concerted effort to get the podcast up and out right away, literally on every half hour. I'm at Bob underscore Stauffer, and Brendan is a big part of the show. Is at Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. Just before I go to David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, this text comes in, and again, I'm working from home. Brendan is at the 630 CHED studio. So just a quick text here. Bob, people are crazy. Nurse would have 60 points if he was on the power play. What would Klefbom have if not for the power play? Maybe like 20? I like Klefbom, but he gets injured and he takes 20 games or so a year off. Or he takes 20 games each year to get going. Nurse is the best overall defenseman on the team, and I bet money he rises the occasion of being a top-line guy. Klefbom is a great number three, but I highly doubt that his ego would rise from a demotion. I don't know about that about Oscar. I don't get the sense that he's got a big ego. I think that Nurse would be still produced as the number three if OEL was paired with Larson, who would be perfect together. And they've played together. We should mention to the texter, those two guys, Ekman Larson and Larson, played together two straight years at the World Championship. OEL could play his game with Larson being the support guy defensively. Well, that would make sense. Look, Darnell Nurse, if he were on the Oilers' first unit power play most seasons in a full year, would probably have 45 to 50 points based upon his 5v5 play. Now, he has played a lot with McDavid 5-on-5, and McDavid is a killer 5-on-5, so keep that in mind. Oh, man. Hey, it's all about perspective, right? There's people out there that are dying to be working right now, so you deal with what you got to deal with. And we'll get David to call into the show and see if that works. Sounds like, again, we've got some sort of issue. We're still getting texts. Sometimes what happens when we end up in a scenario where where we end up losing, the first thing we lose are the text line. But right now we're getting texts. Jason from Sanguto says, Bob, Oscar Klefbom has a big eagle? Did I say eagle? I believe the texter suggested ego. But yes, Jason. Bob, what are the Oilers doing with Mike Green? Nothing. He's retired. Mike Green has already announced his retirement, and that's that. So ain't much happening there. Nothing the Oilers could do about that. It's Mike Green's prerogative. He's had an extensive career. He's played a lot of hockey. And frankly, some players have reevaluated, especially guys in their 30s, have reevaluated their lives a bit. Some guys want to go on and be dads now. We've had a worldwide pandemic that has changed the focus for a lot of individuals. Another text comes in. Hey, Bob, was wondering what you would think of Adam Larson and a third-round pick for Max Domi. I don't think the Oilers can trade any more draft picks. That's what I think. Okay, they included a third as part of the compensation for The Flames taking the buyout-proof contract that Pete Chiarelli gave Milan Lucic. Edmonton got back James Neal. That has to be a third in either 2020 or 2021. There is a... Of course, Edmonton does not have a second-round draft choice for each of the next 2 years because the decision was made to step up and add and traded two number twos to get Andreas Athanasiou when we thought the cap was going to be at about $86, $87 million. Then the pandemic happened, and now we're at $81.5 million. It's going to be very challenging to for the Oilers to even qualify the Andreas Athanasiou contract needs to be qualified at $3 million. Brendan, are we still negotiating contact here, or what's going on?
Yeah, I've got the engineers in here. We're working on it, but still not.
Is it a chance they've knocked the phone lines out? Is that possibly what occurred here?
Dial tone, so probably
okay.
Not.
Okay, there you go. Mitch in the Greater has texted us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. I like Darnell Nurse a lot. The concern for me is the amount he wants to be paid long term, and the level of play doesn't merit top D-man salary. If it's $5 to $5.5 million all year, by all means, let's get him locked up. But it doesn't sound like that's the case. If he expects $7 million plus, it's going to be another anchor contract going forward. And who are Nurse's most common teammates on the ice, Bob, about 5-on-5, when you're quoting those stats? If I haven't looked it up, but I'm going to guess it's one of Connor or Leon. Well, I believe, Mitch, it's been Connor. So there we have it. From Phil, Fear of the Finn. He's the San Jose Sharks fan. He says, Bob, today is definitely not a fluid show. That's right. You're correct. Today is not another fluid show. All right, we think we have David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. David, how are you?
Thank you.
Yeah, we've had an interesting day. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah, very well.
All right, that's look, lots of talk about Darnell Nurse. He's become kind of a polarizing guy in the market, hasn't he, David?
He has, Bob. I'm surprised at how many people don't value what he brings to the team. You know, people complain about his puck moving and his decision-making. But, you know, as you've tweeted out and as I've, anyone who looks at the numbers sees, he's been, you know, like in the top 40 for scoring over the last 3 years, even strength in the NHL. That puts him, you know, in the discussion of being, in terms of his offensive play at even strength, like a number one D-man. So I don't quite get it, Bob. People keep bringing up his contract, but his contract to this point in his entire career with the Oilers has been a bargain for the Oilers every year. Now this is the first year he's going to start getting paid, but even in the next 2 years, I think, you know, the Oilers are likely to get, for a defenseman putting up those kinds of numbers, who skates as well as he does, has a physical presence, and plays solid defense usually. He's not going to be overpriced at $5.5 million a year. That's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, the stat I put out, seventh in the league in even strength scoring in true 5-on-5 situations. True 5-on-5. He's seventh amongst defense scoring over the last 3 years. He's not played a lot on the Oilers' top power play unit. Oscar Klefbom, I mean, I can tell you right now, if I'm representing Tyson Barry, I'm sitting there looking at what Edmonton's going to do, and if a defenseman gets moved out of here, I'm trying to sell Ken Holland on placing Tyson Barry with my team for a year, or Tyson Barry on the Oilers for a year, because you're on a team with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins. It's the best power play we've seen in 40 years, and Klefbom was on that power play. So I'm not denigrating Oscar Klefbom. What I'm saying is I don't understand. The other thing is, I know this about Darnell. He has a relentless work ethic. He thrives to improve as a player. He's the first guy that would not be happy with how things went against Chicago. He's going to work on that. So I'm a little bit perplexed. Now, that said, should Edmonton get in on Oliver Ekman-Larsson, in your opinion, David?
So I don't, you know, I see Arizona when they play Edmonton, and I don't see them otherwise. But I haven't been impressed with Ekman-Larsson for a couple years now. So I was trying to think, okay, let's dig into a few numbers. So I looked at kind of six statistical indicators, points at even strength, points on the power play, points, shots on net, overtime ice time, shorthanded ice time, even strength ice time, to see where he would rank in the NHL. Because I figure a true number one D-man is going to be pretty high in all those categories. If you're a number one D-man, for instance, they're putting you out in overtime. So on my list, when I ranked all the defensemen, we get, you know, at the top of the list, Roman Josi, number one, Chris Letang, Eric Karlsson, Brent Burns, John Carlson, Morgan Riley. This is over the last couple of years. Oscar Klefbom, using this analytic, is 14th in the NHL. Darnell Nurse is 18th. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is 57th. So these are just basic time on ice, point scored analytics. But you know, you expect a number one D-man to do well in all these categories. He hasn't done that well. And there's not much. Jeff Chychrun on his own team. Is that the dad, Jeff Chychrun, or is that the
Yeah, son? No, that's the father. But anyways.
Jacob Chychrun on Ekman-Larsson's own team ranks ahead of Ekman-Larsson by 1 point in the rankings. So I'm just... When you look at that guy's contract term, 7 years at $8.2 million, Bob, it doesn't make sense for the Edmonton Oilers. I can't see it.
I would suggest to you that there'd be some hockey people that completely disagree with you, that they would feel that you'd be bringing in a different caliber of...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Defenseman as a result of that, but I think it's a defensible argument either way, and that's part of the discussion point. David Staples calls hockey. David, who's the best bet for the Oilers in net? Obviously, you've got Koskinen 2 more years at $4.5 million. People do need to be reminded he had a pretty good year, didn't he?
He had a very good year. You know, a good year. He I think what was it, 917?
Yes.
Save percentage. So that's above average in the NHL. That's a good number for a starter. You know, I think, Bob, I don't know about you, but I think Oilers fans are kind of have visions of the Dwayne Roloffson trade dancing in their head still, where the Edmonton Oilers gave up a first pick and they got the veteran goalie in, and that turned around the team completely, and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals and almost won the Cup. They would have won the Cup probably if Roloffson hadn't gotten hurt. So we have that kind of firmly in our head, but I just went back and I looked at the last 8 years since the last lockout, since the CBA that CBA changed the economics of the NHL profoundly again. And who are the goalies that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals? You know, have we seen another situation where you bring in a goalie and he takes you there? And the fact of the matter is that doesn't happen that often. In fact, it's just happened really once with San Jose picking up Jones from Los Angeles and going to the Stanley Cup Finals. What you really tend to see is the goalies who win the Cup with or get to the Stanley Cup Finals with their team, they've been with that team for a while, if not a long while. You know, even Matt Murray had been in that organization with Pittsburgh for 2 years in the minors, where he had been lights out in the AHL. So, yeah, it's not that sexy to say that the Oilers' best bet to go far in the playoffs next year is Mikko Koskinen. But I think it is. I think that's the determination. So it's as enticing as all of these thoughts of Darcy Kemper and all these great names, Jacob Markstrom out there and Marc-Andre Fleury. We're all speculating about that. We're all hoping for that. But the price to be paid in terms of acquisition costs, salary cap costs, and just is that really the right answer? Maybe this, Ken Holland has talked about continuity on the team. maybe that's the right answer. Maybe Koskinen is a big part of that.
All right, well, what, you know, from a 30,000-feet perspective, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey joining us in Oilers Now. David, from a 30,000-feet perspective, what is the best strategy for Holland? I mean, you can make an argument that after they get Bear signed, and again, it's not going to work, the CBA does not work to his advantage. He doesn't have arb rights. He's kind of in the same position Tony DeAngelo was in last year. And by the way, nobody can figure out what the Rangers are going to do with DeAngelo this year. And he had a big offensive campaign. But Edmonton might be limited to about $7 million or less in cap space. Yeah. Many would say they need to spend on goal. Do they trade to reupholster the lineup, or do they sort of nibble at the edges a bit, deal with the money they got this year, and then they'll be in a much better position in a year from now? I've got the numbers pegged, David, at roughly, you know, with, you know, using a mechanism that is in their deployment. And signing Nugent Hopkins, 7 years, say $6.5 million to seven. Bear, 7 year extension, $4.5 million to five. Yamamoto, shorter extension at $4 million. I got Edmonton around $63-64 million bucks, which would give them about $15 million to spend on five players in a year from now. Much better cap is, that's if they don't alter it too much this summer. Is that the right strategy, or this summer? We're already in the fall here, but is that the right strategy? You tell me.
Yeah, I've been calling it this summer, too. Now I'm finally thinking off-season. So, Bob, I think that you're doing the forward thinking that Ken Holland is obviously doing. And there's not a lot of money this coming year. So, again, like, Brian Lawton's really interesting prediction that the Oilers will move out two of the defensemen of the top four. I was thinking maybe that's going to happen. But now I'm thinking there's just not the money now or in the future. Unless you could, none of these guys in the top four are making a ton of money. Like, you could replace one of them with a guy who makes similar money. But so that could still happen. But I really, Ken Holland, I think, tipped his hand when he said he's going to be patient and he wants continuity. And the more I look at it, I think that with the cap situation this team is in, that's probably the best plan. And maybe it's just the best plan anyway, like to improve from within. We saw that with Yamamoto, Baron Jones, and we're going to see Caleb Jones step up in an even bigger role. So I still think the alpha move for Holland this summer is kind of a small move. It's finding a way to move Chris Russell, which isn't an easy trade to make, but it's not impossible, and he pulled it off with Lucic last summer. So I'm okay if there's kind of a true top six guy, but kind of a marginal guy who gets signed for the top six to try out in that role and a third line center, and they audition Jones and they bring in a goalie to compete with Koskinen, and I think that's going to be it.
Bittersweet watching Jordan Eberle last night, David.
Bob, and I went and I was reading the old stories that I and other people wrote at the time that he left, and people were, it just strikes me at that time that he had run out. There was a ton of fans at Edmonton, and maybe people don't remember how down people were in Edmonton on Eberle at the time. There was a ton of fans who were down on him, but more so the coach, I think, and the team was not sold on this player. Like, there was rumors from, Drew Remenda mentioned his practice habits, and Mark Spector talked about soft skill and brought up Eberle's name. And in the playoffs, Ryan Rashad that year said Eberle was a passenger. And I think that was the consensus of a lot of fans at the time too. Those put downs weren't just held by people in the media. That was the consensus of the fans. And I think, and I fear, well, I don't fear, but the coaches can think what they want, but I think they thought that as well. And it was pretty clear that his time had run out at Edmonton and he needed to move on. So good for him in New York. I don't think he's a spectacularly better player, but he's a better player in the playoffs. That's for sure.
Yeah, but he's just, you got to go through that experience and realize the elevation that occurs here. David, to this day, and I've brought it up 643 times over the last 4 years, my frustration was that line, Lucic, Nugent Hopkins, and Eberle. That was an $18 million line at a time in which McDavid and Draisaitl were on their ELCs, okay? And that line pulled it together in the final 20 games of the year. Both Lucic and Eberle had hat tricks down the stretch. Eberle needed it to get to the 20 goal mark. This is a guy that scored 34 goals in 2011-12. And that line did not get it done collectively as a line, especially during the Anaheim series, to the point that Todd McClellan had to break the lineup, and he put Lucic and Slepyshev together with Drysdale and moved Pouliot up with Nugent Hopkins and Eberle, which at times have been the Oilers' number one line back in 14-15. And I'm like, and Milan Lucic would have been the first guy to tell you he needed to play. And here's where I'm going. That was the first playoff experience for Nugent Hopkins and Eberle. I'm not surprised they struggled. But Lucic was brought in to bring the Oilers and give the Oilers some juice. And it didn't really happen against Anaheim. Sorry, it didn't. That's all there is to it.
It's so disappointing, eh, Bob? You know, that whole Lucic saga in the end was just such a disaster for the Edmonton Oilers. And so when we talk about this summer or this offseason with Holland, you know, should he be looking to move out guys who didn't do well in this playoffs? Like, for a lot of them, it's just their second playoff. Maybe it's going to take a little bit more experience in the playoffs for Nurse and Klefbom to bring their total A game in the playoff situation. And we can see with Eberle, and we've seen it with numerous players, as you pointed this out, numerous players in their second or third go around in the playoffs are a lot better. And, you know, the Tampa Bay experience last year where all those guys didn't do very well, and now they're doing very well in the playoffs. So I just think if Holland, and I don't think he is basing his decisions on the playoffs, that's a bad idea. And I think it was a bad idea when Shirley did it with Eberle, and most of the fans did it too. I think most fans were in favor of Eberle being traded at that time.
I had some guys close to me that were very fearful that they were not, you know, they understood that the dollars end of it kind of made a little bit of sense, but they were concerned they lost the skill. And just as an FYI, David, I mean, there's learning experiences in every playoff. The Edmonton Oilers played Philly when they broke into the league. The next year, they had a wonderful playoff experience against Montreal and the Islanders. The emergence of the young core of the Oilers teams, Gretzky, Messier, Glenn Anderson, Paul Coffey, Kevin Lowe, you know, those guys, five of those guys are Hall of Famers now, Yari Curry. The following year, as a huge favorite against L.A., they fell flat on their face, right? Yeah. Like, it's not one continuous upward step. Great stuff, David. We got a lot of response to your appearances. I'm going to read some text here, okay?
Talk to you later, Bob.
There you go. 780-496-0063. Haji has texted us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line, and Haji says, Bob, disagree with David. You can't take one stat which substantiates your argument and ignore the others. Teams with sub in the postseason 900 save percentages do not win cups, regardless of how long a goalie's with your team. If the Oilers had Rask, Holtby, Murray type of goaltender in their system, case closed. Darcy Kuemper would have made every Oilers D-man better this year. That's from Haji. Well, Darcy Kuemper has bluffed Arizona into believing that they were better than they were. He has. So, Tuukka Rask, pretty good goaltender. How's Anton Khudobin been for Dallas? 9:30 in the regular season and had some tough moments at times against Calgary and Dallas. Pretty good against Vegas. Got it going. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. V says, Bob, media and fans ran Eberle out of town after a bad playoff. Sound familiar? People want to run Nurse out of town now in a unique year. Ridiculous from V. I don't think everybody's, I will tell you right now, amongst the texters, it's probably 65-35 in support for Darnell Nurse. A lot of people that are, you know, are saying, Bob, don't read texts from idiots that know nothing about hockey. That's on Darnell Nurse. My point with Darnell is he puts in the requisite time to consistently improve. Okay? He grinds at his game, which gives him a chance to keep getting better. It's the guys that, we've had this discussion on Puljujärvi. There are players in the Oilers team that believe Puljujärvi has the talent and the ability to be a top six player. Okay? But he's going to have to work at his craft. We all do. 127. We are going to go to break. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. I will tell you that still to come next half hour of the show, John Shannon and Natalie Minkler from the Oilers Community Foundation.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.